Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Mem Beis. We are holding on daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. We have two lines from the bottom of the page. Ve'ein Safek Motzi Midei Vaday. Today's year is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, an honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha, La Shalom, the Nisham Shav and Aliyah. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi Shir. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to finish up the discussion from yesterday of Safek Motzi Midei Vaday, or Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vaday, and we're going to bring another raya from somewhere else where it seems to be that a suffix is motzi midei vaday, and we're going to answer that raya in a couple of ways. Then the Gemara is going to get into the major discussion of the daf that takes us through the entire Amud Aleph and half of Amud Beis, which is to revisit the machlokas we had between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish yesterday, whether or not Avodah Zarah that breaks on its own becomes mutter bahana'a or not. So the Gemara is going to have seven rayas that Avodah Zarah that breaks on its own is asr bahana'a. It's a raya to Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish, and we're going to answer each of those seven rayas. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have one raya that goes in the other direction, that Reish Lakish is going to ask on Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara is going to have two rejections to that raya, two ways of answering that raya that Reish Lakish brings against Rabbi Yochanan. And that brings us all the way to the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Beis, and that Mishnah is going to talk about the status of a kli that has a tsura on it. Do you assume that kli has something to do with Avodah Zarah and is therefore asr bahana or not? The Mishnah identifies three particular types of tzura, and that leads the Gemara into a discussion about what's unique about those three particular tzuros, especially when we understand the propensity of Avdei Kochavim to worship just about any tzura. So why is it that those three tzuros are identified specifically in the Mishnah? So let's begin again, two lines from the end of the page, on daf mem aleph amud beis, and we're again discussing whether suffix is motzi midei vaday, which means when you have a vaday problem, is a suffix solution enough to rely on that the vaday problem, a suffix heter, enough to rely on that the vaday iser has been taken care of. Now, each time we're talking about a suffix heter, it means a suffix that's close to a vaday. If it's a suffix that's nowhere near a vaday, so then obviously it's not going to solve a vaday problem. But when you have a suffix, it's pretty good. That's a pretty good chance that there was a heter, that there's something that solves the problem. So do we rely on that suffix heter? So says Gemara, Vein Safek Motzi Midei Vaday. Is that true that Safek Heter will not solve a Vaday problem? Vatanya, but there's a brisa that Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda discussed a case where they have a bar that they would typically throw a nefel if they had Rachman al Islan, a nefel to get rid of. So they would throw it into this bar, and a person was ma'ahil over it to be able to see what's going on there. So the story was that Maisa Bishuvcha Social Meitzik Echad. There was a story of a Shivcha that belonged to a particular powerful Jew, Rimon, in a place called Rimon, Sheiti the Nefel Abar. And the Shivcha threw her Nefel into the bar, Uba Kohen Vehitzitbo, and a Kohen came to look and see what's going on, Leida Im Zacharim Nekeva, to see whether the Nefel that was thrown into that bar is a Zachar or a Nekeva. The halacha is, Tosus points out in Dibra Maschel Leida, that a Shivcha Kananis is Mitame Beleida as well. The Gemara Mesecha Shabbos Kufla Merei tells us that anyone who's not Metame Beleda, the son of a woman who's not Metame Beleda, is not Nima L'Shmona, doesn't have a din of a Mila Dafka on the eighth day. And we know that the son of a Shivcha Kananis is Nima L'Shmona, that's a Pasuk, Ben Shmonas Yamim Yimolachem Kol Zachar Yilid Bayis. Yilid Bayis means the son of a Shivcha Kananis. So we know that the son of a Shivcha Kananis is Nima L'Shmona, and therefore it must be that Imo Tumei Leda. So the Nefel of the Shivcha Kananis, it matters in terms of her tumas status. She's going to have a tumas leida status. Tosus Maseches Pesachim brings a brisa in Torah's Kohanim that we learn from the pasuk of Isha Kisazria that is Shivchas Tumea Leida, that it doesn't say Jew Kisazria. Isha Kisazria, that Isha is a more general term and includes a Shivcha as well. So it's certainly a Shivcha's Mitame Beleda. So this Kohen wanted to look to see what was going on, to see if there was a male Nefel in the bar, if there was a female Nefel in the bar. Rashi writes that this Kohen was a Chacham Umara Hora'a. He was someone who was paskening a Shaila, so he needed to see what was going on in the bar. Rashi Maseches Nida has three explanations of who this Kohen is that's peeking into the bar to see the Nefel that's in the bar. One of them is that he was a Chacham Umara Hora'a, and he needed to look to be able to instruct her about her Yirmei Tumah Yirmei Tara, because if it was a male Nefel, so you follow the dinim of 7 days of Tumah followed by 33 days of Tara. If it's a female Nefel, Tefel, you double everything. And the second explanation Rashi has is that the Shivcha was someone who was around his house a lot and would therefore touch his Truma a lot. So he needed to know whether his Truma is going to be Tame, whether he has to be careful to make sure this Shivcha doesn't touch his Truma. So he was a Mara Ra, but he wasn't paskening her Shaila, he was paskening his Shaila about his Truma because he needed to know her Tuma status. So that's the second interpretation Rashi has in Maseches Nidah Daf Tes Vav. Rashi says neither of those interpretations are correct, because what kind of Chacham and Mara Ra'a who's a Kohen is going to go peeking over a bar that may have a mace in it? He's not allowed to be metami himself to that, and therefore Rashi says it must be that this Kohen is an Ama Aretz or a Katan, and the woman said to him, go check and see what's in there, see what's in the bar. And that's how Tosos says that he was a Kohen Ama Aretz. Tosos in Dibra Maskul Ba Kohen Vitzitzbo also Kohen Shotehaya, Tosos says that even Krovim are not allowed to be metame to a Nefel. Ooh, Tosos said that's a step, right? That even a Karov is not allowed to be metame to a Nefel. You don't even need to say that. You could just say that the Stam was a Kohen who was a Shota. The idea though that a Karov is not allowed to be metame to a Nefel is explicit in the Medrash and Parshas Emor, that only a Karov who's a Bar Kayama, like of the Imo that are mentioned in the Torah in Parshas Emor, do we have the heter of a Karov being metame. But if it's a Karov is not a Bar Kayama, it was a Nefel, then you don't have the heter of a Karov being metame. So even a Karov is not allowed to be metame to a Nefel. So anyway, so the guy looked, this Kohen looked to see if it was Zachar and Akeva. So they wanted to know. He didn't see anything. He looked in the bar, it was just a black hole. He didn't see anything. So they want to know, is this Kohen now Tame? So the Chachamim paskin that he's tar. Why? Because in that bar there are a lot of little animals, and these animals are very likely to have dragged away the Nefel or have eaten the Nefel, and therefore the Kohen probably was not my heel over a mace, and therefore is tar. So wait a second. Vahacha devade itila Nefel safek garu safek lo garu. Over here, the problem is a vadai problem. There was a Nefel, it was thrown into a bar. The solution, the heter, is a safek heter. I don't know for sure that a Chuldor Bardalus have taken away that Nefel. It's a maybe yeah, maybe no. Maybe it's better than 50-50, but it's not certain. Vakasi safek motsumi devade. And apparently that safek solution solves this vadai problem, right? That we assume that the safek heter works for the vadai problem. Now Tosos in Dibra Maskel Mepnei deals with another issue over here. The Gemara in Masechta Sota tells us that the Chum learned from the Parsha of Sota that Safik Tumah Bereshus HaYachid is going to be Tameh, and even when it's a Svek Sveka Lahakel, we still say Safik Tumah Bereshus HaYachid, even on multiple Svekos where the arrows point in the direction of Tahar, but if it's Bereshus HaYachid, we say Tameh. And Safik Tumah Bereshus HaRabim, if a person is walking Bereshus Rabim and he has some Safik whether he became Tameh or not, even a single Safik Svekos Tahar, even though it's a din daraisa, and you would think Safek daraisa l'chumra, but no, when it comes to tum and tara, Safek tum rishus harabim is tar. So what exactly is going on in our Gemara? If this bar is in rishus hayachid, and that's where the Kohen was standing, what is the svara help that the chuldor bardulus or mitzuyin sham? It could be that the hole that this chuldor and bardulus drag things to goes right under the feet of the, where it tunnels under the ground, is right under the feet of the Kohen. It doesn't have a paseach tefach, and therefore the Tumah is Bokas Vola Ad L'Rakia, and it's Metame the Kohen who's standing right around the bar, and the Kohen became Tame. So Misafik, we should be Metame him. And if the bar is Bereshus HaRabim and the Kohen was looking into the bar, it's a Bereshus HaRabim. So Safik, maybe he was Mayil on the Nefel or not. So why does the Gemara need to say Chuldor Bardalus Mitzuyin Sham? Whether Chuldor Bardalus Mitzuyin Sham or not, it's a Safik whether the Kohen was Mayil. It must be a big opening to a bar. Kohen was looking over part of it. So say, even if the Nefel still there, Suffolk, whether he was Mahil on the Nefel or not. So Tosa says that if there was no tzad to suggest that the Chuldor Bardalus dragged it, the Kohen would have been Vaday Tameh, because we must be talking about a bar that it had a very narrow opening, and the Kohen's face filled the entire opening. So if we know that whatever was thrown there remains there, we don't even enter into the discussion of Suffolk. So in order to be Metarim, we needed to say say Safek. But anyway, bottom line is, we see that Safek is Motzi Midei Vadei. We have a Vadei problem, and they paskin that he's Tahar, because we have a Safek solution to a Vadei problem. So says the Gemara, nah, not a Raya. Lo teme hitila nefelabar, eleima hitila kimin nefelabar. That we should suggest that, no, the case was not that this Shivcha threw a nefel into the bar. She threw something that may have been a nefel into the bar. Wasn't sure exactly what it was. So it's a Svek Sveika. Maybe there wasn't a nefel at all, and even if it was a nefel, maybe it has since been taken away by the Choldor Bardalis that's there at the bottom of the bar. So says Marva, Leidem Zachram Nekevahu Katani. But it says that his whole point in looking was to see if it was male or female. If you don't even know if it was a nefel or not, it should have said to see what was going on, right? Why do you say to male or female presumes that it's a nefel? So says Marva, yeah, that's what it meant. Hachi Kabar. What it means to say is, Leidem Imruach Hipila Im Nefel Itila, to see whether it was just ruach. Ruach means that there was no forming nefel yet. It was just placenta or something like that. There was no actual forming nefel yet. Or no, maybe the pregnancy was developed enough that there actually was a tzura of a nefel in there, and he was checking that out. And once he's checking that out, to see vimtim shloma nefel itila leidem zachar nekeva, that if it was a nefel, to see whether it's a zachar or a nekeva. V'ibay yisema, or another possible answer as to why this is not a raya that suffix is mostly midei vaday, kivin shecholder bardos mitsuyin sham vadegar ruhu. This is not a suffix solution, this is a vaday solution, meaning once we know that the cholder bardos are mitsuyin sham, they for sure took the nefel out of there. It's not a suffix whether they took the nefel out of there, so it's a vaday problem with a vaday solution, so it's not nichnas into the issue of suffix mostly midei vaday. Period. Now we go back to the discussion we had yesterday, machlokas rabbi yochanan reish lakish, if an avodah zara breaks on its own, is it mutar ba'ana? So Reish Lakish says that it's a mutar bahana'a when it breaks on its own, because the Ovid Chavim is going to say, look, this thing couldn't even protect itself. It's definitely not going to protect me, and therefore the Ovid Chavim is going to be mevatel such an avodah zarah. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan thinks that no, it remains asur bahana'a. So we're going to have seven rayas that Rabbi Yochanan brings against Reish Lakish. Raya number one, Esvei, Rabbi Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish from our Mishnah, Matzah Tavnes Yad Tavnes Regular Reish. You find an image of a hand or an image of a foot, so they're going to be usher because such similar things are neva. There are those people that are oved such tsuros. Amai hashvarim ninu. Now, why should they be usher? After all, they're broken pieces, and according to Reish Lakish, no matter how they broke, they should become mutter. If a guy breaks them, avada their mutter, everyone holds their mutter. But even if they broke on their own, according to Reish Lakish, they're going to be mutter. So how could you say that the shivri yad and shivri regel are going to be aser? So says Gemara, Tirgum Shmuel, Va'omdin al b'sisan. We already explained yesterday that we're not just talking about a random dismembered hand or foot. It's standing on a pedestal. So in a case where it's standing on some pedestal that's miyuchad for it, so you see that they're worshipping it the way it is. So if they're worshipping it the way it is, then it's asur ba'anah. That's no longer called the shivrei avodah zarah. It's just the avodah zarah. So Esvei, challenge number two against Rabbi Yochanan has against Reish Lakish. Ovid Chavim, we have a Mishnah that we're going to have later on, that Ovid Chavim vatel avodos chavim shalo vishal chavero. That an Ovid Chavim has the ability to be mevatel not only his own avodah zarah, but his chaver's avodah zarah as well. If he cuts off a piece of the face, he knocks off an ear or the nose of the avodah zarah, we're going to see that he's able to be mevatel it. Now it's a little bit difficult. What do you mean he's able to be mevatel his friend's avodah zarah? What's his friend doing with it? Meaning his neighbor has an avodah zarah. He sneaks into his neighbor's house or his neighbor's backyard and he chisels off the nose of the avodah zarah. But then he wakes up the next morning and he sees his friend is still bowing and sacrificing things to the avodah zarah. So he's been mevatel it. The neighbor's still worshiping it. The neighbor's still worshiping it, so that it's still an avodah zarah. So in the Sefer Be'er Yehuda on the Rambam, he writes that a guy is able to be mevatel avodah zarah shel chavero once it's no longer bebeis chavero. But if the avodah zarah is still bebeis chavero and he is mamshich to be oved this avodah zarah, obviously his bittel didn't do anything. Then obviously his bittel doesn't help, which is a great answer. Problem is, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in the Ardeas and Kuv Mem Vav, when it quotes this halacha, it makes no such qualification. It just says that a guy can be mvatel avodah zarah shel chaver. It doesn't say anything about whether it's still bebeso shel chaver or not bebeso shel chaver. So it's a kasha. Why is it that he has the ability? But the Mishnah says that he can be mvatel avodah zarah shel chaver. The Yisrael, and this is the point that we're trying to focus in on, a Yisrael is eino mvatel avodah zarah shel chaver, is not able to be mvatel an avodah zarah that belongs to an avodah chaver, even when he goes and he smashes it, he goes and he breaks it. It's not batel, but amai tevik avodas chavim shtar meila. According to your Reish Lakish, even if the avodah zarah just breaks on its own, if there's an earthquake and the avodah zarah breaks, it's going to be asur. It's going to be mutar bana, and it's not going to be an avodah zarah anymore. So should the Yisrael be any different than if it breaks on its own? Shouldn't that be enough to be matar bana? So how come the Mishnah says that when the Yisrael breaks it, it's asur bana? So Amar Abaye shepchasa. Abaye says that we're talking about a Yisrael that didn't break it in a way where he detached a piece from it. Rather, he just deformed it a little bit. He smashed it, took a hammer, and let's say it was a metal face of the avodah zarah, and he dented it. He smashed it in a little bit, and in that case, he didn't cause it to be chaser in any way, so that's why it's not going to be batel. But why does that help? By an ovid chavim that's mevatel in avodah zarah, when he deforms the face, it does become batel. So why should it be different when with the Jews? It says, no, it's different. When an ovid chavim does it, it becomes batel, because he's showing that this avodah zarah is not chashuv to him anymore, and he's willing to deform it. But when a Jew does it, it does not, the guy is not going to be mevatel his avodah zarah if the Jew managed to impact the avodah zarah in a way where it wasn't chaser anything. Because the ovid chavim is not going to say, look, if it couldn't protect itself, it's not going to protect me. Adrabi is going to say, look, it managed to maintain every last ounce of its value, even though the Jew attacked it. So he's not going to be mevatel his avodah zarah in such a case. V'rava Amar, Rava gives a different answer. Liolam ki p'chasa Yisrael na mi batla. Truth is, even if Yisrael ruins it and destroys it, even if it's not chaser, it's batel as well. Aye, so how come we said that when a Yisrael is mevatel avodah zarah shel chavim, it's still asur bana? If a Jew has the ability to be mevatel it, and that fits very nicely with Reish Lakish, that a Jew has the ability to be mevatel, because if it breaks on its own, it's batel as well. But then why is it asur bana? Alegzera dilma magbele v'hadam aftalei. No, it's a gzera because we're afraid the Jew is going to find this avodah zarah that belongs to a guy. He's going to pick it up, he'll make a kinyan on it, and then he'll be mevatel it. And he's going to think that his bittul works. V'avi avodas chavim b'yad Yisrael. V'kol avodas chavim b'yad Yisrael eino b'tel liolam. And the halacha is that any avodah zarah that's in the hands of Yisrael, that's in the possessions of Yisrael, that will never become batel. So it's all a gezeira, that eino chinami. On a daraisa level, the Jew goes and he destroys the avodah zarah of an ovid chavim, that absolutely will be mvatel, because the Ovid Chavim will say to himself, couldn't protect itself, it's not going to protect me. Reish Lakish is correct, it's enough to be, if it breaks on its own, it's mutabana, and a Jew breaking it is no different than it breaking on its own. But a gzeira midrabanan, that we're afraid that if a Jew is mevatel the avodah zarah of an Ovid Chavim, we're going to come to be matir even when the Jew is mevatel the avodah zarah shel Yisrael, because he's going to pick it up first and then be mevatel. He's not going to realize that the Seder Advarim matters. That's how Rashi explains, that the Jew is going to be zocha in the avodah zarah b'hagba, because all hefker is like a metziah, and you could be kone b'hagba. So as soon as he picks it up, he's going to have been kone it. Now the Yad Ephraim in Orachaim Sim Tovkuf Pei Vav in his Hagos on the Magen Avram says that it sounds from Rashi that the gzeira was that he's going to pick it up from hefker, and he'll be kone it from hefker, and that's the whole problem. That this was an avodah zarah shel hefker, and that's what the Bach writes over there as well. That only if it were an avodah zarah shel hefker can a Jew possibly make a kinyan on it, and therefore it would become an avodah zarah shel Yisrael. But if it still belonged to the Nachri, even if the Jew did the kinyan Agbah first and was then mevatel it, it's still avodah zarah shel Nachri. He would still have the ability to be mevatel it. We would not call that avodah zarah shel Yisrael. However, the Magen Avraham says the Pashul Sashon of the Gemara sounds like this is an avodah zarah shel Oved Kochavim, not shel Hefker, that it belongs to the Oved Kochavim, and still we're concerned that if the Jew picks it up and then he's mevatel mevatel it, that's a problem, that he's been kona it by picking it up, that if he made a kinyan on it, even though in terms of dine mamonis, it belongs to the goy, it's still considered to be an avodah zara shalitzah. In terms of yoredeya, in terms of dinim of hilchos avodah zara, it's considered avodah zara shalitzah. That's what the Magen Avraham sounds like he's saying, that it could belong to the goy in choshen mishpat, right, that it's the goy's avodah zara, but in terms of the dinim of bittul avodah zara, once the Jew picks it up, it's now avodah zara b'rishuso shel Yisrael, where he doesn't have the ability to be mevatel it anymore. So the Rishonim say, well, how could that be? How could the Yisrael be zochen in avodah zara? Well, I'm sorry, the Rishonim struggle with a different question. They say, anyway, how can he be zochen in the avodah zara? It's asur ba'anah. Shouldn't something that's asur ba'anah be something that you can't make a kinyan on, that you can't be zochen in something that's asur ba'anah? So the Ritva writes that whenever there's another iser that's going to come out of the fact that you are zochen in it, that zechiyah is going to work even on isurei ana'ah, meaning the zechiyah is going to work to your detriment. Not that normally you make a kinyan, so it's to your benefit. Now this belongs to me. But there is such a concept that you make a kinyan, and that kinyan will work to your detriment. It's not yours, still doesn't belong to you. In Choshen Mishpat, it's not in Dina Mamanus, not yours, but in Yeredeya, it's yours, in the sense that it's going to work to your, to against you. So over here as well, right, that's going to, the Jew, by picking it up, now can no longer be mevatalit. He no longer has the ability to be mevatalit. In Yeredeya, it works against him. So the therefore, says the Ritva, if Yisrael makes a kinyan on chametz on Pesach from a guy, that the chametz belong to a guy, so it's asur ba'anah, the kinyan shouldn't work. No, but it works to his detriment, because chametz shel nachri on Pesach will never become chametz shavar of Pesach. It's not going to become asur after Pesach. But if it becomes chametz shel Yisrael in the middle of Pesach, then it will become chametz shavar of Pesach. So you're able to make a kinyan in something that that is an isur anah if it's going to be to one's to one's detriment. So the Ran writes that since the guy is able to mevatel the avodah zara, and it would then be mutar ba'anah, so the Yisrael has zechiyah in that avodah zara, and therefore the Yisrael could be kona chametz from a guy in Pesach, even though it's asur ba'anah, because after Pesach the chemtzah shel guy would be mutar ba'anah, so there's zechiyah in the chametz in order to make it asur ba'anah for the Jewish person. Okay, now challenge number three to Reish Lakish Eisvei. So we ask, we have a brisa ovid chavim shevi avodah min amarkolis. If an ovid chavim brings stones from the avodah zara called Markolis, which was a big pile of rocks, and they would be oved this by throwing more rocks on the giant pile, v'chipa ben drachim v'sratiyaos, and they use it to pave roads. They use the stones of the Markolis to pave the roads, mutaros. Those avanim are mutar bana, because the guy was mevatel the Markolis by going and taking the rocks from it and paving the roads with it. And a guy can be mevatel his own avodah zara. V'yisrael shevi avanim in a Markolis v'chipa ben drachim v'sratiyaos Asuros. However, if a Jew were to take the Avon from the Markolis and he starts to pave roads with it, it's going to be Asur ba'anah, because Yisrael cannot be Mevatel an Avodah Zarah of a Goy. So now, according to Reish Lakish, that even an Avodah Zarah that breaks on its own becomes Mutar ba'anah, why can Yisrael, pulling apart the Markolis, not equally ruin it and make it Mutar ba'anah? Amai, Tavei Kavod Zchav Shin Shab Me'aleh. Why don't we view this Markolis like an Avodah Zarah that broke on its own? Even if it were to break on its own, according to Reish Lakish, becomes Mutar ba'anah. So when the Jew pulls apart the whole pile of Markolis and makes a road out of it, shouldn't that also make it Mutar ba'anah? So says the Gemara, Hachadami Kidarava. Same answer we gave before. You're right, it does become Mutar ba'anah on a Doraisa level, but it's a Gezeira Midrabban, and that we're afraid he's first going to pick up all the stones of Markolis, bekona it for himself, and then he's going to be mevatelit by choosing to make a road out of it. So since there's that concern on a drabbanan level that it'll be kona it first, and there will be avodah zara shel Yisrael, so that's why he doesn't, on a drabbanan level, he does not have the ability to be mevatelit. Tosos in Dibra Maskel Hacha raises the Gemara, didn't the Gemara know this answer already? Meaning, and we're going to have one challenge after another where the answer is going to be, I'll spoil spoiler alert right now, the answer is going to be Kidarava. That in each of these cases, right, it's going to be Kidarava. Oh, it's exactly what Rava said. That really on a Daraisa level, you're right, that it would become Batel, but Midrabanan, because we're afraid he might be Kone at first. So we know what the answer is before we ask the question. So what are we doing over here? So he leaves it as a Tzarech Iyun. Now, if you look in the teeny tiny letters at the end of the Tosos, it says, Vayin Hetiv Tosos Shabbos Mem Gimel, Dibra Maskel Kofa Aleh, V'od Sham Kuf Chav Gimel, Dibra Maskel Esve Abaye. What does the Masoros HaShas want with that? That's the Masoros HaShas writing over there. What does he want with that by pointing us to these other Tosos? So these are two other places where you have a similar thing in the Gemara, where the Gemara asks a bunch of Kashas, and all of them have the first answer that it gave to the first Kasha, answers all of the kashas. So over there, Tosfos writes that the Maksha knew that you can answer the kasha with the first answer, and was just exploring if there are other answers. Wanted to see if there are maybe other ways to answer some of these questions, and that's why he kept on asking from different angles. So that's what the Masoros HaShas is saying, that over here, Tosfos leaves it as a tzarechi, and take the Tosfos in over there and apply it over here. That it could be that the Maksha knew what the answer was going to be, but was just looking to see if maybe we can apply maybe there's a different answer that we could apply as well. Tos Rid raises a different question. What exactly is the concern over here? The concern is that Midrabanan, that we're afraid the Jew is going to pick up the entire pile of Markolis and be kone it for himself and then be mevatel it. I don't know, if I had a giant pile of very heavy stones, the kind of stones you would pave a road with, I'd probably take off one at a time and start paving the road, right? So probably most of the stones, you're right, you're mevatel before you're kona anything, you're zochen anything from Hefbir. So Tosrid asks in Rashi, how could it be? He picks up a whole pile of Avnei Markolis. What kind of strong man is he? And first of all, and furthermore, he says, the stones are separated one from the other, so how could he pick up just even practically, even if he was very strong, just to get them all at the same time? They're not attached to each other. So that's what Tosrid says, that it could be that he didn't do a Kinyan Akbah. He's Kona the place where this pile of stones is. He does a Kinyan Chazaka, and through that he's Kona the Metaltalin that are on that karka, and that's the Kinyan. Or he says that in Markolis you're not going to be Enochinami. The Gezer is not Shaykh by Markolis. It's not Shaykh that he would have done a Kinyan first and then been Mevatalit. But it's a low plug that once Rava made this, once Rava explained that they made this Gezerah that a Jew cannot be Mevatal of Odezara that belongs to a Nachri, because there might be cases where the Jew is going to be Kona the Avodah Zarah for himself first. So even in cases where it's not practical that he would be Kona the Avodah Zarah for himself first, it's a low plug that they made this Gezeira across the board. Okay, Raya number 4 against Reish Lakish. Say, Isvei, Ovid Cham Sheshifa Avodah Chavim. If an Ovid Chavim starts trimming down an Avodah Zarah that belongs to a guy, let's say he starts trimming an Asherah tree, Litzarko, so if it's to benefit the tree, to make it grow better, say he vishifuya mutarin. So both the original tree and the trimmings of the tree are mutar bahana'a. I'm sorry, litzarko, if for his own purpose, he's trimming down the Asherah tree because he wants to use it. He wants this wood. So then it's going to be mutar. But litzarko, if it's to benefit the tree itself, he asura, the tree is going to remain asur bahana'a, vishifuya mutarin, but the trimmings off of the tree are going to be mutar bahana'a because the guy is getting rid of them. He has no intention of worshipping the trimmings that he's cutting off of his own Asherah tree. But if the Jew is the one that's doing the trimming of the tree, not the Ovid Kuchavim, so whether it's for his own benefit to be able to use the wood or whether it's for the benefit of the tree, both the tree and the trimmings of the tree are going to be Asurbana. But amai, why if the Jew does it, is it not going to be Batel? After all, according to you, Reish Lakish, even if it breaks all on its own, it's going to be mutter. So if the Jew starts breaking off pieces of the Asherah tree, shouldn't that automatically make it mutter? Answer to Gemara, you're not going to believe it. Hachanami kidurava. The same answer that we had from Rava before, that since it's enochinami on a daraisa level, the Jew cutting off pieces of the tree should work. But we made a gezerah lest he be kona the tree first. So Tosrid says, what do you mean lest he be kona the tree? What's he going to do? He's going to do a hagbah on the tree. Tree is mechubah. karka. How could he possibly do a kinyan agba? So he says, no, you could do other kinyanim on a tree. You're kona the karka with kesef shtar or chazaka, whatever. And then he's kona the tree along with it. It doesn't have to be a kinyan agba per se. Raya number five. So Eisvei Rabbi Yossi Omer, we have a Mishnah later on in tomorrow's daf, that Rabbi Yossi says, if a person finds an avodah zara that's made out of metal, shochek v'zora l'ruach omatiliyam, he should scrape it down and grind it up and throw it into the wind or throw it into the sea. So Amrullah, the Chum said to Rabbi Yossi, why does that help if you're going to throw it into the ruach? Afi nasa zevel, it will become something that will be like fertilizer. Uksiv lo yidbak v'yadchum u'ma min acherim, if it's going to benefit your neighbor's field when you throw it into the sea. No one is allowed to get hana'ah from it. So how can you just throw it into the river, throw it into the wind rather, and allow it to be used to help fertilize someone's field? So according to Reish Lakish, then avodah zarah that breaks on its own is mutabana. And my wife, the Jew, grinds it up. Is it not going to become batel? Meaning, what are you worried about? This is not an isra ana. It's no longer an avodah zarah. If it breaks on its own, it's going to be mutter. So when you grind it up, it's also going to be mutter. So the person is mevatel it. The Ramban raises the kasha that lechora, this is a kasha to Rabbi Yochanan as well, because why, when a Jew is shochek avodah zarah and it can no longer do anything, are the shavings of it going to be aser? Why is that any different than an avodah zarah that the bailum was miyaish to no longer be oved the avodah zarah, which the Mishnah is going to say in Dafnun Gimel that that's going to be mutter? So the Ramban suggests that according to Rabbi Yochanan, yeish shalom midas doesn't work for avodah zarah. So if the guy who owns this avodah zarah doesn't know that you have ground it up into just metal trimmings, then the fact that he would give up on being ovedit is not enough. Meaning, if he saw you do it, then in a chanami, that would be enough. But anyway, the Gemara's answer is, hachanami kidurava. Over here also, we say like Rava, that you're right, midarai, so it should become batal. This is all din midrabanan. Eisvei, challenge number six. Rabbi Yossi ben Yossian Omer, matzatsuras drakon v'rosho chatuch. You find a certain statue in the shape of a particular type of snake that they used to be oved, and the head was chopped off. Safik over chatacho, safik Yisrael chatacho. You're not sure if a guy had chopped off the head or the Jew had chopped off that. It's mutter ba'ana. It's because it's a svek sveka. Maybe it was never worshipped to begin with, and even if it was worshipped, maybe the guy chopped off the head, and therefore he was mevatelit. But vade Yisrael chatacho. But if you know that it was a Jew that chopped off the head, then aser. Then it's going to be aser ba'ana, because then you only have one safik, and a safik d'araisi. You have to go luchumra. But amai tavik avos chamishin. Let it be no worse than an avodah zarah that broke on its own, where according to Reish Lakish, it's going to be mutter ba'ana. So over here also, when the Jew breaks it, it should be mutter ba'ana. So it says the Gemara, hachanami kidur Rava. Same answer like Rava, that on a daraisa level, you're right, this is all din midrabanan. Eisvei, challenge number seven that Rabbi Yochanan has against Reish Lakish. We have a Mishnah in Daf Mem Ches, that according to the Chachamim, you're allowed to plant vegetables under an Asherah tree during the winter time, because the shade is not beneficial to the plants. Not only that, it's detrimental to the plants that are under the tree. So you're not getting any anah from the Asherah tree. But Rabbi Yossi Omer, Aflo Yirakos Mios Hagesham Nesha Neviyah Nosheres Aleyan. Rabbi Yossi says, you are still getting some benefit because the leaves that fall off of the tree are beneficial to the plants beneath it. But Amai, Tavik Havel Zchavim Shin Shtabamela, leaves that fall off of the tree, that's broken off of the tree. If it broke on its own, shouldn't that make it Mutter Ba'anah? According to you, Reish Lakish? So says, no, Shaini Hasam, Dik Havel Zchavim Kayamis. No, that's different. The tree is still standing. The tree is just as strong as it ever was. This is a natural process that some leaves are going to fall off. So it says Marva Shipuyan, Dikravos Chavim Kayemis Vikatani, Litzarka Hi Asuru Vishipuyan Mutarin. But we said when we spoke about the trimmings of the Asherah tree, where the Asherah was still standing, and you just trimmed off some branches, and we said that if you did it Litzarka for the benefit of the Avodah Zarah, so the tree remains in its iser, but the trimmings are mutter. So how come over here the leaves that fall off are going to be a problem because they fertilize the vegetables underneath it? Shouldn't it be no different than the trimmings of the Asherah tree, where the trimmings themselves are going to be mutter? That whenever there wasn't a human intervention, it was just the natural processes that a tree goes through, that leaves fall off, that's never going to become batel. The avodah zarah status does not become batel in that way. way, if a person starts cutting off branches, then einachinami, those branches are going to be batel. But the tree itself, that's not going to be anything. So now the Gemara brings one raya the other way, after seven rayas in one direction, one raya in the other direction. Say, so Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Lakish challenges Rabbi Yochanan, if you find a nest on top of a tree that belongs to Hagdish, lo nanin v'lo ma'olin. The Chum made a gzera that you're not allowed to get hana'ah from that nest, but there's also no isser mi'ila. So you don't bring a carbon mi'ila if you got hana'ah b'shogeg, because it's not the nest itself is not really asr min ha'Torah. It's just a din midrabanan that you're not allowed to get hana'ah from it. But barosh shalashera, if you find this nest on the top of an asherah tree, yatiz bakan. You should knock it off with a stick, and then you could use, presumably that means you could then use the nest itself as firewood, the wood that the branches that make up that nest as firewood. You can't climb up the tree to knock it down, because you're going to be nana from the Asherah tree on your way up. You're using it as your ladder, and the Asherah is asabana. But kasal kadaitach, the assumption is kigon shenishbra mimenu eitzim, that the case in the Mishnah is that where did this nest come from? The bird fashioned this nest out of tree, out of branches from this very tree. V'kintzabahen v'katani yatiz bakana. And he built this kan, and yet it says you can knock down this nest and use the nest. So don't you see that if it's nishtabra me'ala, it becomes mutabana, that since the bird is the one that broke these branches off of the tree, that's like nishtabra me'ala. So Reish Lakish says that when avodah zarah is nishtabra me'ala, it's mutabana. So this is a raya to me, says Reish Lakish. So Gemara has two answers. Answer number one is hakam ha'askin gondaisi etzim alam of kintzabahen. Now the case is not that it built the nest out of its own wood. The birds built the nest from other wood. Dekanami, the Tani Gabi Hagdish, and the Raya is, because it says when it comes to, if it's a Hagdish tree, lo nan velo molin, that it's, you're not allowed to get it up, but there's no mi'ila. Well, liyam in Pishlam, da'i si etzim mi'alma, if a bird ate him from elsewhere, handed the Tani Gabi Hagdish, lo nan velo molin, lo nan in midrabanan velo molin, midar raisa, that there's nisidrabanan to get hana from it, but it's not mi'ila midar raisa. Why? Dolo kadishi, because the wood is non Hagdish wood, it came from elsewhere. But but if we assume that all the wood came from the Hegdish tree, then why wouldn't it be subject to Me'ila? It's all Kadosh. It's Mukhrach that the wood must have come from other places. So it says, are you sure it's Mukhrach that way? It could be that the wood came from this very tree, and the tree is Hegdish, but the wood is not Hegdish, because it could be that the bird made the branches, made the nest from branches that grew after the tree had become Hagdish. So the branches themselves are not Hagdish. And we're working with the assumption that there's no Mi'ila on Gidulin Abal Niachar Mikan, on that which grew afterwards. So that was answer number one. Rabbi Avo, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Avo says, no, my yatiz be'efrochin. No, when we say that you're knocking, enochinami, an avodah zarah that breaks on its own is asr bahana. And the branches of that make up this nest came from this tree. So it should be absolutely asr bahana, not like you, Reish Lakish. Why then are you knocking down the nest? What do you need the nest for? You don't need the nest. You need the contents of the nest. You want the afrochim that are inside of the nest. But erechinami, the nest is going to be asr bahana. So I'm the Rabbi Yaakov, the Rabbi Yirmiyah, bar Techlifa, asbur alach. And let me explain to you, he says, whether these afrochim are in fact mutar bahana or asr. Be afrochim kan v'kan mutarin. If they're able to fly on their own, then for sure they're mutar, whether it's a Hegdash tree, whether it's a avodah zarah tree, because the afrochim have nothing do with the tree. Bebeitzim kan v'kan asurin. If it's simply eggs, then it's going to be asur because they still need the tree. So amravashi v'afrochin shetzrich liyaman kebeitzim damu. And if it's a afrochin that still require their mother, that has a din like beitzim that still needs the tree. It's going to be like part of the tree. New Mishnah now. Motzi kelim v'aleim turus chama, turus levana, turus darkon. You find a kli and there's some sort of image of the sun or of the moon or of darkon, a type of a snake on it. The kelim are going to be asur ba'na because you assume that it was worship. So you throw it into the Yam HaMelech, where no boat is ever going to come and pick it up. It depends if it's on a respectable kli or a buzzwe kli. If it's on a respectable kli, it's going to be asur bana, then you assume it's worship. Otherwise, it's going to be mutar bana. So says Gemara, wait, only these three images? Only the three images mentioned in the Mishnah, they worship, they don't worship other things? Or a mini, I'll bring you a braisa. Hashochet l'shum harim l'shum gvaos l'shum yamim l'shum naharos l'shum midbar l'shum chama l'shum levana l'shum avodos l'shum kochavim umazalos l'shum ichal saragadol l'shum shilshul katan hareyelu zivchei mesim. That if a person shechts, having in mind that he's worshipping any of these things, it's all zivchei mesim. So don't you see they worship all these things? It's not just the three things you mentioned in the Mishnah. So Amar Abaye miflach l'kol demashkech yipalchi. They'll worship anything, but meitzar mafalchi ani tassid chashiv yitzayru lupalchi luhu l'midiachrini l'noi bialma avdi luhu. But to actually create, to generate the image and then worship, that they would only do with these three chashva images. But to generate an image to worship, they wouldn't do with these other images. Manke Rav Sheshes Chumri Masniyasa. Rav Sheshes collected difficult brises to understand. Vitani, and he taught them, and he taught the following. Kol mazalos mutarim chutz mi mazal chama levana. All mazalos are mutar except for the mazal of the chama levana. Kol partsufin mutarim chutz mi parts of Adam. All facial images are mutar except for the human face. Vekol tzuros mutaros, and all shapes are mutar chutz mi tzuros dark drakon, except for the particular image of a snake. Chumri Masniyasa, the way Rashi understands it, means difficult to explain brisos. Others say it means, no, chumras, the Rabbi says, it means chumras. It means that he collected chumras that you could find in different places. Tosus understands that it just means a bundle. It means a bundle of teachings. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll start trying to understand this Chumri Masniyasa, this teaching of Reish Lakish, and what he means by that. Okay, have a good day, everybody.